Welcome to another exciting edition of KC Soccer Karma on KC 107.7. You are listening to Connor Robertson. Today, we are starting the year with an interview with Yehia Duplessis from JDP Practice, and we're going to be discussing all things burnout. I feel like this is a massive conversation that we need to have going into the new year, because we need to identify and manage burnout when it happens, and we need to also look at a way to prevent it. And I think at the start of the year, this is the best time to speak to a professional to discuss all of this so that we are prepared for 2025. But for now, we're going to take a break, we're going to listen to some music, and we'll see you shortly.
This is KC 107.7.
And welcome back. Once again, we are speaking to Yehia Duplessis from JD Practice. Once again, welcome back, Yehia. How are you doing?
Hi, Connor. Yeah, it's very good to be back. I'm doing very well. Obviously, the year started with a bang, and it's been very busy, very productive. But yeah, it's going very well. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, it's been such an incredible series. Honestly, I've heard quite a bit of positive feedback on the series we're doing about burnout. I've heard a lot of feedback and a lot of thanks for people who said they weren't actually able to identify that they actually had burnout in 2024. But after these two-parters, we've actually been able to identify that they had burnout. So it's been really awesome to hear the feedback we've gotten. And I really just want to get into this managing burnout side of things, because in our second part, we touched on managing burnout, but I really want to get into the meat and potatoes of managing burnout.
Okay.
So I wanted to ask you once again, can you share any strategies or techniques for managing stress in real time when you are feeling overwhelmed or close to burnout?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think it's important to mention that burnout is unavoidable. I mean, at some point in your life, it's going to happen, and it's something that you can plan to a certain extent, but it can happen to anybody based on your circumstances. So these techniques is just really important to keep in mind. I mean, some people are less anxious than others, but circumstances can make us anxious. I don't know if you agree with that, but
yeah, I do.
So I just think that simple stuff that I like to do is, I spoke to a client this week as well, and what I told him is, when, just for instance, this is now a scenario that I'm just going to give. A lot of the time, people feel overwhelmed or they don't know how to respond in an argument, for instance. And a lot of the time, the person will say, but I'm not smart enough to reason an argument. So something that I, for instance, do is, first of all, listening is very important. And something that you can do when you listen is counting to five. You know, don't make it higher than five. You know, just count until five, count back from five to one, and just keep going like that. But other things in terms of an argument, I'm just saying that, is to maybe respond with an open question. I don't know, this has nothing to do with burnout, but I do find a lot of the time when people are burnt out, they don't know how to respond appropriately in arguments, and this is one of the side effects from burnout. But so you've definitely got to look after yourself. So I would definitely say that something that I do is the breathing exercises. You know, I don't know if you know these things that they advertise on social media that you can use instead of vaping. Do you know the little pipe that they advertise?
Yeah, I just can't think about what the product is called. But I don't know. I do know what you're talking about.
So that thing, let me explain it to you quickly. So basically that thing helps you to control your breathing. And a lot of the time when people do smoke, they struggle with anxiety. So if you look at people that smoke, then usually the addiction stops within 3 days, and the craving enhances as the nicotine levels goes down. But after that, you usually just have breathing problems and anxiety problems. and then you think you need the cigarettes. So what does help is something like that, that controls your breathing. So you take less oxygen, more time. So instead of just a quick breathe, something that a cigarette does or what that pipe does is it helps you to control your breathing. And what I do like about that is you can, for instance, inhale for 5 seconds. So you can say, okay, so I'm going to inhale for 5 seconds. I'm going to put it in my lips, count to the five. Then you keep it there for 5 seconds, and then you breathe out. But you also breathe out through the pipe. So you don't breathe out through your nose. It's very similar to a situation where you would, for instance, what did I call it the other day? You would when you would smell something with your nose, and it would be like that, and then you would breathe it out through your mouth. But when you breathe it out, you make your lips very small. So the control of breathing is very important when it comes to anxiety. And that's a very good technique that you can apply. And usually it's about 5 inhales and 5 outhales of 5 seconds. And that does increase anxiety levels tremendously. So I'm just saying that even if you're not a smoker and you do see those things online on Instagram and stuff, I did try it and it does work. If you do it right, it can make a huge difference. It's something that you can do by yourself. You can also just maybe take a straw and cut the straw into smaller pieces of, you know, about 10 centimeters or even less. You know, just something that you can control your breathing throughout. But yeah, that's something that you can do. And then there's a few other things like mindfulness, but so you can exercise, physical activity. I always say when clients do come to me and I have to start getting them back in a habit, I'm not against hard exercise, but I mean, usually when you train very hard, you kind of give your body a shock and then you don't want to do it again for another week or two. So for me, it's all about maybe starting with 2Ks 3 times a week, you know, just walking slowly, getting in nature, doing some nice breathing exercises, you know, just to get your body active again. It doesn't have to be hard stuff. And then breaking your tasks into smaller manageable priorities, you know, just break it down, plan your day better. And then positive affirmations. So it's also very important, who do you spend your time with? I know it's not always so easy at work, but make sure you surround yourself with the right people in your personal life. You know, people that has a positive contribution. You know, us guys like to banter, but there's also a space when it starts to get unhealthy. You know, it has to come from a good place where we start to uplift each other instead of breaking each other down. And that's just a few tips.
Oh, that's really awesome. I mean, for one, I mean, my group of friends, we banter each other quite a bit, but I think we've always managed to find a time to give each other positive reinforcement, because at the end of the day, like, banter's awesome, don't get me wrong, but there's definitely a space where you need to feel like we're friends as well. And friends, there must be an upliftment when it comes to friendship as a whole. And I feel like being a guy, sometimes we misconstrue that a bit.
Yeah, you know, guys, that's a whole different conversation, but guys and women think differently about this. We're more box-orientated, and they're more emotional, and obviously it's not always linear, but I think sometimes, I know when guys don't banter, sometimes, you know, it's also a love language. So us guys like to banter, and it's also a way of telling you that you love somebody or that you do care. I'm just saying that it should come from a good place, and you know, be careful of bantering somebody before you really know them. So, I mean, when my best friends banter me, I know where it comes from because they know me. But it does need to come from a good place. Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. So I want to touch on how important it is to take time off to recover from burnout. What are your thoughts on this and the effectiveness of sabbaticals or short breaks? Because we've discussed on how we can prevent burnout, but now I really want to touch on where we've identified we have burnout. Now, how are we going to manage that? How important is taking time off to recover from burnout?
It's very important, Connor. I mean, just it's important to take yourself out of the situation. First of all, for rest, and also because it gives you another perception, or it just helps you to see things in perspective. I mean, and it doesn't have to be big things. You can go away for a weekend, but that can also be expensive. It can also just be, you know, we live in a very beautiful part of the country. We are surrounded by mountains here in Paarl and Worcester and those places. So everybody can basically go for a walk somewhere in a vineyard or in a mountain. And there's less technical stuff and more technical stuff. And we even have apps with trails routes on there. So it doesn't have to be something big, but it's very important just to take your mind off things. You know, what I find when I start walking in the mountains with a group of people, we have different conversations. And usually the people going to walk in nature, they won't start moaning and talk about negative things. It's very difficult when you're doing something positive to speak negatively.
Yeah.
So I do like getting out in nature and taking some time off. But a sabbatical also helps you for long-term recovery, you know, and it gives you time for reflection and personal growth. And obviously it does prevent burnout, but basically it just helps you to refocus, to set good goals. And I mean, sometimes it's better to work harder for shorter periods of time than thinking you're working effectively for longer periods of time when you're doing actually very little work.
Yeah, look, I agree with you 100%. I also think that people need to start taking their leave. Because I know way too many workaholics like me that do not believe in taking leave. In my office ourselves, we encourage leave, because at the end of the day, for me, it's more important that my staff remain productive, because we can work 8 hours, but we can't necessarily have a 8-hour productive day. So
let me ask you then, what do you say you would change in the terms of, because I know we did have conversations where you said I might be a little bit of a workaholic. What is the things that you would say you are starting to implement in your life now in the new year?
In the new year, I am now working an 8-to-5. Now, I'm really, really down to 8-to-5. Once 5 o'clock hits, I send all my staff home and I close my laptop. So I switch off now. I started picking up on squash. I still cycle here and there. But what I'm doing is I'm implementing, there's time to work. Well, there's a time for everything under the sun. I mean, it says it biblically. So what I'm doing is I'm balancing my life a bit. And I'm actually, I no longer talk about work to my wife. Like, my wife and I, we've discussed that when we come together, it's time to switch off. So the one thing that I'm now learning over time and in my 2025 is that I don't bring my work home.
Great. That's a very good thing. And I mean, it's important that you guys keep that healthy. I'm very happy for you, and it does sound great, and hopefully, you know, it's also very important that people are able to relate with you. I found that something that I've learned in my relationship with God and through self-development is that there's nothing as powerful as a testimony, and a testimony can be something that has changed in your life. I mean, I was somebody 2 years ago that still drank a lot, and I stopped. And it was actually one of your friends who helped me with that. And I have deep appreciation for a person like that. But we've also got to remember that I drank because of some stuff that happened in my life. And I'm using that as a testimony. I can't try and tell people that I'm perfect. I'm using my vulnerability also to assist my clients, because we are all just people with mistakes and who has been hurt in the past. But I mean, sometimes it's the best place to be, to lose everything and to feel messed up and just to start picking it up from there. So anyway, that's just something that I wanted to say. If somebody does feel down and, you know, they don't know how to go forward. Just know that it's not necessarily a bad place to be at.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in my personal opinion, I believe that 2025 is going to be that year of authenticity, where we've got so much AI, we've got so much technological advances coming in, and I feel like people are actually looking just to work with people. But we're going to take a break. We're going to pay some bills. And when we come back, we're going to talk about looking forward, refreshing for 2025. We'll see you shortly. And we're back. So once again, we're speaking to Yehia Duplessis from JDP Practice. So I'm looking now to approach 2025. What is your advice for people looking to start the new year feeling fresh and ready?
I mean, just start pacing yourself. It's very important to set realistic, meaningful goals of resolutions, you know, one thing at a time. And then pace yourself. That's the short, simple answer. Usually we go in with a bang and we end up burning our fingers.
Absolutely. I mean, this year I'm looking at my year as a massive marathon, because I've got dreams, aspirations, and goals I wish to get to. But I realized in 2024, I hit January like a 100-meter sprint, and I realized by about March, April, May-ish, I already started to feel a bit run down. So this year I'm treating it almost like a comrades marathon, and that's where I'm hitting into my next point. How can individuals evaluate their current work-life balance and make changes to improve their mental and physical well-being for the upcoming year?
So I think, it's very similar to the first one. So I'll just bring it back that I would say it's not always a bad thing. And that's what December is also for, is to reflect on what happened in the year and to see where did I make mistakes and where can I learn from it. And then basically just to get a lot of self-care practices in for yourself. We don't care for ourselves a lot of the time. I mean, the junk we eat, the lack of exercise that we do, easily find on Google, is a self-assessment scale. You can just Google it, self-assessment scales, to see where you are emotionally and be honest about it. I mean, it's only for yourself, and if you want, you can share it with an accountability partner. But to set specific goals, I mean, we are usually so excited about setting goals for gym and, you know, we want to look like the next Arnold Schwarzenegger. But, you know, we've got to realize that we've got to have balance in our lives. And to be a person like Arnold Schwarzenegger would mean you would have to train a certain amount of hours a day. So also that I've learned from a guy, he's already passed away, Dr. Miles Monroe. Something that I learned from him was, in order to be successful in your life, you've got to be very specific and you've got to add value to your life. So when people do hear your name, what do they think about? When people hear the name Connor, what do they think about?
Jeez, if that's the question, I can't answer you right now.
Yeah, well, that's a very good question to ask yourself. So hopefully when people hear my name, they think psychology and maybe music, you know, because I also have the band. But not even psychology. It must be a specific type of psychology. People have got to know you for what you can do that's very unique. And I think a lot of the times we just go into life having such massive and big goals. And that's where the why and the how comes in. And when you break the how down, you've got to break it down and become very specific. You've got to start asking yourself, how much time a week do I have for coffees, for work? Do I set aside time for self-development? Do I have a mentor? Do I read a specific type of book? You know, yes, there's time to watch something like Prison Break on TV and to play PlayStation, and there's a time for doing nothing. But when you set your goals, don't waste your time, because you only have so many hours. I mean, it's 168 hours a week, I think, that you do have. half of it or a third of it you're sleeping, what are you doing the rest of the time? Or is it taking you closer to your goal? A lot of the times we think if we don't reach our goals within 6 months or a year, then we just want to give up. We should start setting realistic goals and to start building a legacy in a specific field.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody looks at Arnold Schwarzenegger and goes, his body or his physique is absolutely incredible, but nobody actually realizes that he's still training. Like, in his old age now, obviously, I saw or I listened to an interview he had earlier, and he said, you know, he can't get to his prime of what he used to get, but he still works out. And I think people don't realize that when you work out or when you're trying to lose weight, it's not just about putting the weight off, it's about keeping the weight off. And I think people are so prepared to get to that weight, let's call it a weight class, but they're not ready to put in the work to keep that weight off, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but if you look at somebody like Arnold Schwarzenegger, you'll think of him for two things, and it's one, physical or gymming, and the other one is movies.
Yes.
So Arnold prioritized that. I mean, for me, exercise is just, I mean, I want to look healthy, I want to feel fit, but I don't have the time to train like Arnold trained, like 3-4 hours a day. They train on a different level. And if that's your thing, go for it. But I mean, we should ask ourselves, what is the most important thing in our lives? And what is the things that I'm doing for self-care and stuff like that? And usually it's much simpler than we think. I mean, to lose weight, usually it's not the hard exercise. 80% of it's your diet. And that's a little bit of planning and not stopping at McDonald's, you know, to do some grocery shopping. So usually we are also so good at lying and manipulating ourselves that we think, you know, this is going to work and this is the nicer option. So I'm rather going to try and do this. I mean, last week, Connor, I started exercising. I'm doing a 12-week program now. Last week, everything went amazing. And it was great because it was new. I was on a high. I was quick at making breakfast. From this week onwards, you can even ask my assistant. I've been starting to struggle, you know, exercise. I'm a little bit more lazy and I'm contemplating, you know, because it's what happened. But that's where the accountability sits in. I have a friend that's doing the program with me. My housemate, for instance, I asked him, listen, you're going to have to keep me accountable because if I don't have you, I'm going to mess up. Last night, I asked him if I can have custard. He said, there's no way. I was busy taking the custard out of the fridge. He said to me, put it back. You're not having it now. And I was very upset. But he comes. So you've got to ask people to be hard on you and to because they love you. And when you ask them to back you with their goals, you've got to realize that there's going to come a point give up on your goals because it's going to be hard. And that's when you've got to keep on pushing because that's where the growth actually starts.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is all we have time for. And I just wanted to thank you once again for sharing all your insight for today. But I also just wanted to give you a last opportunity for a quote-unquote plug-in. So for anyone who's looking to get hold of you, how can they get hold of you?
Now, I must now first go and look for my own work. just hold on. Let me get it. So, you can contact me. You can search for JDP Practice online. And my number, let me just get it for you quickly, is 066-404-9126. My email address is jg@jdppractice.co.za, or you can email my secretary Dione at info@jdppractice.co.za.
It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show once again, and thank you so much for assisting me through this series. Thank you once again to everyone who tuned in, and we'll see you next week. We've got an exciting new series coming up, so we'll see you same time, same place. God bless.
#KC Soccer News, only on KC 107.7.